Well, good morning. My name is Andrei Piskaya. I'm a PhD student at the Horticultural Science Department of University of Florida. And today I'm going to talk with you about the soil water dynamics of shallow water table soils cultivated with potatoes. So it's known that soil hydraulic properties has a high influence in the water distribution in the soil. For sandy soils in regions with shallow water table, which is mainly found in northeast of Florida, where most of potatoes are grown here, about 80%. It's important to know that it's important to describe the unsaturated soil water flux. Why? Because growers typically use a super-irrigation method called seepage irrigation to supply the water to the root zone via an upper water soil water flux or a capillarity, where they raise the water table and to a desired level. I'm going to explain in the next slide what is this sub-irrigation method. As I said, a common sub-irrigation use is the seepage irrigation. These systems require water furrows installed every 16 potato rows. So when growers apply water along of the water furrows, the water permeates down in the soil profile, raise the water table, and through capillarity it reaches the root zone. However, this system or these irrigation methods, this sub-irrigation, requires a large volumes of water to raise the water table. And even small rainfall events can lead flooding in the area or even cause damage to the plants. Therefore, when there are rainfall events, growers need to recede the water table to avoid damage and reduce their yield. Therefore, seepage requires a large volumes of water and is considered an inefficient irrigation method. So growers have been replacing this alternative irrigation method by tile drainage and subsurface drip irrigation for a means of water table control and a sprinkler irrigation for an overhead water applications. So the importance to know the water table fluctuation and how the water table is contributing to the water in the root zone is important to determine the best water table managed for growers or how an sprinkler irrigation could work. So the objective of my study is to estimate the capillary movement of a soil water in shallow water table varying soil types and irrigation methods to determine and use this information to determine the ideal water table elevation for potato irrigation. So experiment field trials were conducted in 2015 and 2016 in the Northeast Florida at the University of Florida Hastings Agricultural Extension Center during the potato season, which is spring. And here we have a picture of our research farm. So our research farm is divided in three zones, zone 1, 2, and 3 in the south end. So firstly, we did a soil characterization in this area. So we collected in four random spots in each zone, 8 samples for 3 depths, 15, 30, and 45 centimeters. These depths were collected with a soil coarse, and wrapped in aluminum foils. Were bring to the lab, and we saturate these samples according to Seindler and Miller, and the pressure potential in each volumetric water content were measured by a mini tensiometer from -1 to -200 kPa, and use a WP4C dew point potentiometer for -200. After this analysis, we submit those samples for a soil bulk density analysis, soil organic matter, soil particle distribution, and using the volumetric water content and the pressure potential, we adjusted soil water retention curve using the Wangen-Lucien model and calculate our field capacity and permanent wilting point. So now that we know the soil hydraulic characteristics of our areas, we conducted this two potato season in 2015. So irrigation systems were installed seepage in zone 1, tile drainage and subsurface drip in zone 2, and sprinkler in zone 3. During the season, pressure transducers, or also called piezometers, were installed at 4 points in each irrigation systems, and TDRs were installed at 15, 30, and 45 centimeters of soil depth. This data was used to the Darcy law according to the parameters just calculated for according to the Wangen-Lucien equation, and they were used to calculate our unsaturated soil water flux, which could be up water from the water table or down water from the rainfall events or sprinkler irrigation. So our statistic analysis was firstly to compare the zones of our research farm about for our bulk density, soil organic matter, and soil particle size distribution, where we have run an analysis of variance with a multiple means comparison using Tuckey. And then we fit the water table level and the water flux within a hyperbolic model for the all irrigation systems at 15 centimeters of soil depth. So now that we know how to do all this, I'm going to start to show my results. So firstly, I'm going to talk about the analysis of variance that we run and all our statistical results. So zone 1, zone 2, and zone 3 was compared for particle size distribution in the three depths. However, there was no interaction between zone and depth for the particle size distribution. And what we found is that zone 1, it had a lower sand particle size distribution than zone 2 and then zone 3. However, it had a higher silt, but no significant difference between clay. So when we classified these zones, we had a loam sand texture for zone 1 and a sand texture for zone 2. And this I would like you guys to take in mind, that zone 1 had this loam sand soil, because it's going to be important to describe the water movement in the soil. Later, when we run for soil organic matter and bulk density, we could see that zone 1 had a higher bulk density, higher soil organic matter than zone 2 and zone 3 for all depths. Oh, by the way, it had an interaction between soil organic matter and bulk density for zone and depth. While zone 1 had a lower bulk density than zone 2 and zone 3, but there was for the 0, 15, and 15 30 centimeters. But there was no significant difference in the last soil depth layer. Within each zone, depth had significant difference for soil organic matter in zone 1 only, and for the last soil depth layer analyzed, where we had higher soil organic matter in the first two soil depth layers compared to the last one. But there was no significant difference in zone 2 and zone 3. Why was the opposite in the for bulk density, where we had in zone 1 an increasing of bulk density with deeper soil layers, same for zone 2 and zone 3, but there was no significant difference between the 15, 30, and 30, 45 centimeters of soil layer. So basically what I would like guys to take from this is that we have a loam sand soil texture in zone 1 with a higher soil organic matter content and a lower bulk density compared to zone 2 in a sand soil texture. So this is a graph where we have our water potential in the y-axis and our volumetric water content, our soil water retention curve. And we could see that this soil properties that I just described had a high influence in the field capacity, because zone 1 had a field capacity of average field capacity between all depth of 0.25 cubic centimeters per cubic centimeters, while zone 2 and zone 3 had a 0.17 and 0.16 respectively. So now that we had all this information, soil water retention curve, we could plot and make our relationship between the water table in the y-axis and the water flux in the x-axis. So this graph, this is the equation that we could fit the hyperbolic equations. And what I would like you guys to pay attention here is that if we had the seepage irrigation in the loam sand soil for controlled in the same water table depth as tile drainage and subsurface drip, which were located in the sandy soil, let's say we control the water table at 50 centimeters below the soil surface, we could have a higher upper water flux for seepage compared to the tile drainage and subsurface drip. And this was mainly because of the soil properties and the particle size distribution. And we could also associate to the soil organic matter. So for the overhead sprinkler irrigation, we could not fit with those the data for the water table and water flux, because there was a frequent down soil water flux that did not allow us to do that, because this data was all considered in a drainage to equilibrium concept. So now that we have all this information, we go to the objective of our study, which was to determine on water table management. So those equations was using to the crop evapotranspiration, where we take an average from both seasons and a minimum and maximum of both seasons to determine the range of water table to be controlled and what would be the optimum water table level. When we apply the crop evapotranspiration requirement to the water flux would be similar. We had a 61 and 77 centimeters of range for seepage irrigation and an optimum water table level at 69 centimeters below the soil surface. For tile drainage, it was 40 and 49 centimeters below the soil surface, and for subsurface drip, 42 and 52. Remember that tile drainage and subsurface drip was located in the same zone, so they had to have similar results for the water table level. So to check if we control in the season, during the season, correctly our water table level, I selected a period of 70 to 80 days before planting, after planting in 2016, where we have the water table fluctuation and the water flux and the crop evapotranspiration. The dots in gray represent the crop evapotranspiration, while the black triangles represent the water flux. And what we could see that for seepage irrigation, if we control the water table in the recommendation for Florida, which is 50 centimeters below the soil surface, we had a higher water flux in a loam sand soil. While we could control for tile drainage and subsurface drip at the optimum water table level recommended, which was 42 centimeters and 45 centimeters. And we could also see it in the range that we just measured before. And what was interesting is when I calculate this period, what I saw is that the contribution of water table to the sprinkler irrigation was 12% of the crop evapotranspiration. So in the irrigation scheduling, it should account for this 12% to do not over irrigate the crop, which might lead to nitrogen leaching, water stress, and any other problem. So what did we conclude in this study is that the soil organic matter and the particle size distribution affect our field capacity. The upper water, the upper water soil water flux had a right correlation with the water table level and supply the crop evapotranspiration, the crop root zone for seepage, tile drainage, and subsurface drip. And that for our in-situ location, the optimum water table should be 69, 42, and 45 for seepage, tile drainage, and subsurface drip, while the contribution of the water table should be accounted for in sprinkler irrigation. Otherwise, we're going to be over irrigation the potato. So I would like to thank the FDEX who sponsored this this project, my colleagues from the University of Florida and the Hastings Agricultural Extension Center, and I'm open for any questions. Thank you.
And we have time for questions. Thank you.
Yes.
How did you evaluate flux, water flux, using the Darcy law, right?
Yeah, using the Darcy law.
In that Darcy law, how did you estimate the unsaturated conductivity?
The answer, okay. The unsaturated conductivity, we use the soil water retention curve to calculate the all Wangenhuyschen parameters,
right.
And then we use those parameters to calculate the unsaturated the unsaturated flux. The water table was our reference level.
Yeah. Okay. Water retention characteristics will give you the Wangenhuyschen parameter. How did you evaluate unsaturated conductivity? That is not retention curve equation. That is different equation.
For what? To calculate the unsaturated?
When you get the alpha and those parameters, and all those curve parameters, you need to use those parameters, some other equation, to estimate unsaturated
parameters. Oh, you mean all that's equations for the Wangenhuyschen? Like, I have the Wangenhuyschen equation where I calculate the... Okay. The steps that I used was, I run the Wangenhuyschen using the soil physics models in R that is available for everybody. I got all Wangenhuyschen parameters. These Wangenhuyschen parameters I used in his equation. In the opposite, I just substitute for the potential pressure that I want.
Wangenhuyschen has no unsaturated conductivity equation. That is different equation. Wangenhuyschen has soil water retention equation. So
yes.
That's my question. How did you calculate unsaturated conductivity?
The answer. Well, I applied for the Vangenushin equation, not for the Vangenushin parameters where we have the delta. I can write the equation for you, but
right. Well, do you have idea about Moalem equation with Vangenushin equation?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Okay, so you use that equation. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.